Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this lovely morning. Mother Valerie, what is the temperature?
I think you said 48.
That's what it read on my phone, and I'm hoping that's correct, which means it's going to get warm today. Let me look and see.
On and a little
beautiful,
rain.
Beautiful day. 66 will be the high, and rain. Like a 70%
Amen.
Chance of rain today and tomorrow. But the weekend is getting ready to, all I can say is looking up. Mother Valerie, that Saturday, we go into the 70s. Excuse me, I get these little hiccups, and I don't know why, because I'm trying to talk and breathe, I guess, at the same time. I don't know. But
you're
I'm
there.
Grateful, and I'm glad that God gave me another day. And all I can say is, woo, woo, woo. That's my woo, woo now. Woo, woo, woo.
Amen.
We just experienced an eclipse, you know, and some of the pictures are just beautiful. That's all I can say. They are beautiful. And the ones that I was able to take, because, again, I was under the mask, under my glasses, and I was using my phone hoping that I was in the right angle, and just popping it, taking pictures as everything was going on. And the ones that came out for me, because, again, I did not have my good camera because I didn't have a lens to go over it that would have protected the eye from the eclipse. But what I did get looked like starbursts. They looked like angels to me. I mean, I got one that was, it was like a burst of light with a circle around it, and it was just beautiful. And then I got another one that looked like a burst with light coming out of each side of the circle. It was just beautiful what I experienced, and I'd like to say, and I don't know if anybody else experienced what I experienced, it's as if even though we didn't get black, we just got a little cloudy look. It was like when you take a picture that's in black and white, so it looked almost like a black and white picture is how our sky looked. And it got cool. It's like a cool breeze came through.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sun came back and it got warm again. It was the strangest feeling. And I thought, wow. But today we're going to talk about a similar situation with Joshua and the standing still of the sun and the moon again. You know, because with God, all things are possible. And with prayer, all things are possible. And the word of God tells us, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. The sun stood still and the moon stopped. With prayer, all things are possible, which means that the earth stood still. Because we go around the sun. Sun doesn't move, we do. It means we stood still. And when you think about it, and they have proof, scientific proof. Just ask Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, he is like, Dr. deGrasse is like the guy, you know, and he, you know, is a astrophysicist, and he's just like amazing. He is amazing. And just smart, very, very smart. And, you know, he's one of those guys that are just brilliant, kind of geeky like I am, and brilliant. And, you know, I love the fact that he thinks out of the box. He's not, hey, it's got to be this way. He's like, when you think about the planet and the universe and all the things out there, you have to be amazed. I know I am. So that's just me talking because I get all giddy and excited over stuff like this. You know, like you said, y'all know I am a total Star Trek, Star Wars. I love that kind of stuff. I really do. If ever I had an opportunity to go into space, I would go. I would go. I would go in a heartbeat. And so I have a word this morning from our prayer book, Willing Submission. And I am going to read it after the lesson today because that's what God just told me. So I'm going to read it after the lesson today as we get into the lesson. And it is a lot of words. So get your Bibles out. We will be in Joshua chapter 9 and chapter 10. Our psalm this morning is the 44th psalm, verses 1 through 3, which is also, y'all got me saying woo today. Proverbs 13:24-25. And, you know, this proverb, Mother Valerie will be reading this morning. I tell you, it is one that we need to implement again because you have children these days who are telling their parents what they will and won't do. You have children today running households instead of the mother and the father. Children are telling their parents what to do and can be rude and nasty. In my day, if a child ever thought to talk back to an adult in the house of God, it would not have been well with them when they got home, being disrespectful. But these days, you got children that are so disrespectful. And not our children, because I'm a youth pastor, and my children are not disrespectful at our church. But I've seen it. I work in the school system 2 days a week, and I tell you, I have seen children be so very disrespectful. And I have seen some adults that don't know how to deal with them. And until we get a handle ourselves, we are walking in, we're just not walking with God. And Mother Valerie, when you read that word, just go ahead and tell it, talk about it, because it is the truth. And I've seen it. I tell you, I've seen it. Luke 10, chapter 10, also deals with prayer. Prayer is what changes everything. We got to pray, and we got to rejoice in the Lord. We got to rejoice and be happy, knowing that we are special to God. And I know I sound a little hoarse this morning, but I am not sick. I just slept really, really good. So I'm just telling you, I slept real good last night. and did not want to get up this morning. My bed was feeling real good. So let's get in our word today, and we are coming out of Joshua chapter 9 through chapter 10, and it starts at this way. Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, lifting up the name of Jesus, lifting up this word. Father God, we ask you, as we do every day, to please increase as Mother Valerie and I decrease. Father God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be accepted in your holy divine sight. And Father God, we ask forgiveness for anything we may have done in thought, in word, or in deed against your divine majesty. For Lord God, you are absolute, absolute in everything, absolute in praise, absolute in joy, absolute in worship. You are a Father, and we come to you with a prayer of our heart, thanking you again, Lord, for another day. Thanking you again, Lord, for waking us up this morning when you didn't have to, but you did. So I thank you, Father, for this day and all days. And I thank you for your grace and mercy toward all of us. In Jesus' name, we continue to ask you, Lord God, to watch over the bereaved families. Watch over those that are going through, God. For you know each and every one by name, as well as the number of the heads on their head. So we ask you, Lord God, to send special blessings for those that are in need, especially those that are homeless and houseless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And as we go into the word of God, and it came to pass when all the kings who were on this side of the Jordan, in the hills and in the lowland, and in all the coasts of the great sea toward Lebanon, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Havites, and the Jebusites heard about it, they gathered together to fight with Joshua and Israel with one accord. But when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua had done to Jericho what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they worked craftily and went and pretended to be ambassadors. And they took old sacks on their donkeys, old wineskins torn and mended, old and patched sandals on their feet, old garments on themselves, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua to the camp of Gilgal and said to him and to the men of Israel, we have come from a far country. Now therefore make a covenant with us. Then the men of Israel said to the Havites, perhaps you dwell among us, so how can we make a covenant with you? But they said to Joshua, we are your servants. And Joshua said to them, who are you and where did you come from? So they said to him, from a very far country, your servants have come because of the name of the Lord, your God. For we have heard of his fame and all that he did in Egypt and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, who was at Ashtaroth. Therefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take provisions with you for the journey and go to meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Now therefore make a covenant with us. This bread of ours we took for our provisions from our houses on the day we departed to come to you. But now look, it is dry and moldy. And these wineskins which we filled were new, and see, they are torn. And these old garments and our sandals have become old because of the very long journey. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but they did not ask counsel of the Lord. So Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the rulers of the congregation swore to them. And it happened at the end of 3 days after they had made a covenant with them that they heard that they were their neighbors who dwelt near them. Then the children of Israel journeyed and came to their city on the third day. Now the cities were Gibeon, Kibroth, and Beeroth, and Kirjath-jearim. But the children of Israel did not attack them, because the rulers of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation complained against the rulers. Then all the rulers said to all the congregation, "We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swore to them." And the rulers said to them, "Let them live, but let them be wood cutters and water carriers for all the congregation, as the rulers had promised them." Then Joshua called for them, and he spoke to them, saying, "Why have you deceived us, saying, 'We are very far from you,' when you dwell near us? Now therefore you are cursed, and none of you shall be freed from being slaves, woodcutters and water carriers, for the house of my God." So they answered Joshua and said, "Because your servants were clearly told that the Lord your God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were very much afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now here we are in your hands. Do with us as it seems good and right to do to us." So he did to them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, so that they did not kill them. And that day Joshua made them woodcutters and water carriers for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord in the place which he would choose, even to this day. And as we go back to Joshua chapter 9, it tells us in this word that life lesson, "We have sworn to them by the Lord God of Israel." Joshua kept his word. He swore to these people by God that he would not take them out or attack them. And he listened to God, and he did that. The only thing was, had he listened and gone to God first in prayer, he would not have made this mistake. And it says, Israel leaders erred in failing to ask God about the Gibeonites, but they did right in recognizing the serious and solemn act of taking an oath in God's name. God does not take lightly his reputation, and neither should we. And as we go into chapter 10, and it says this, "Now it came to pass, when Adoni, that of king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its king, so he had done to Ai and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore Adonizadeh, king of Jerusalem, sent to Horam, king of Hebron, Krim, king of Jermuth, Japhia, king of Lashish, and Deber, king of Eglon, saying, 'Come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel.' Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lashish, the king of Eglon, gathered together and went up, they and all their armies, and camped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal, saying, 'Do not forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly, save us, and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us.' So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hand. Not a man of them shall stand before you. Joshua therefore came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Bethhoron, and struck them down as far as Pisgah and Megiddah. And it happened as they fled before Israel and were on the descent of Bethhoron that the Lord cast down large hailstones from heaven and on them as far as Pisgah, and they died. They were more who died from the hailstorm than the children of Israel killed with the sword. Again, prayer changes all things. With prayer, all things are possible. Think about it. A hailstone to stop folks from fleeing. That's God. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people have revenge upon their enemies. Again, the sun stood still and the moon stopped. Is this not written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. But these five kings had fled and hidden themselves in a cave at Mikdah. And it was told Joshua, saying, the five kings have been, so Joshua said, roll large stones against the mouth of the cave and set men by it to guard them. And do not stay there yourself, but pursue your enemies and attack their rear guard. Do not allow them to enter their city, for the Lord your God has delivered them into your hand. Then it happened, while Joshua and the children of Israel made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they had finished, that those who escaped entered fortified cities, and all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Mikdah in peace. No one moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then Joshua said, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings to me from the cave. And they did so and brought out those five kings to him from the cave, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. So it was when they brought out these kings to Joshua that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said to the captains of the men of war who went with them, come near, put your feet on their necks of these kings. And they drew near and put their feet on their necks. Then Joshua said to them, do not be afraid, not be dismayed, be strong and of good courage. For thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight. And afterwards Joshua struck them and killed them and hanged them on five trees. And they were hanging on the tree until evening. So it was at the time of the going down of the sun that Joshua commanded that they took them down from the tree, cast them into the cave where they had been hidden, and laid large stones against the cave mouth, which remained until this very day. On that day, Joshua took Mikdah and struck it, and its king with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, all the people who were in it. He let none remain. He also did to the king of Megiddah as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Megiddah, and all of Israel with him to Lebanon. And they fought against Lebanon. And the Lord also delivered it, its king, into the hand of Israel. He struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword. He let none remain in it, but did to the king as he had done to the king of Jericho. Then Joshua passed from Lebanon, and all Israel him to Lachish. And they encamped against it and fought against it, and the Lord delivered Lachish into the hand of Israel, who took it on the second day and struck it and all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, according to all that he had done to Lebanon. Then Horam, king of Jezah and of Gath, of Jezah, came up to help Lachish, and Joshua struck him and his people, but there he left them none remaining. From Lachish, Joshua passed to Eglon, and all Israel with him, and they encamped against it and fought against it. They took it on that day and struck it with the edge of the sword. All the people who were in it, he utterly destroyed that day according to all that he had done to Lachish. So Joshua went up from Eglon and all Israel with him to Hebron, and they fought against it, and they took it and struck it with the edge of the sword, its king, all its cities, and all the people who were in it. He left none remaining, according to all that he had done to Eglon, but utterly destroyed it, and all the people who were in it. Then Joshua returned, and all Israel with him to Debir, and they fought against it. And he took it and his king and all his cities and struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed all the people who were in it. He left none remaining as he had done in Hebron. So he did to Debir and its king as he had done also at Lebanon. So Joshua conquered all the land, the mountain country and the south and the lowland and the wilderness slopes. And all their kings, he left none remaining, but utterly destroyed all that breed, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. And Joshua conquered them from Kadesh Barnea to as far as Gaza, and all the country of the Goshen, even as far as Gibeon. And all these kings and their land Joshua took at one time, because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned, and all Israel with him to the camp of Gilgal. And I read this, Mother, and I thought about it. And it said that they took Gaza, right? And we know Gaza is existing today. So if they took Gaza, that meant that Gaza was inhabited by the Hebrews. Am I right? So does that not mean that current-day Israel is fighting against their families? Because Gaza did not have anyone but the Israelites and the Hebrews in it, because they took it and they divided it for all these thousands of years. So now all of a sudden we are coming in and saying that it's not who they say they are when they are doing DNA and finding out because of the body, so many of them. They're doing DNA and they're finding out that they are Hebrews, that they are the original people of the land of Canaan, which means that they are those people and they are Hebrews, because all the original Canaanites were destroyed. Am I right? Just throwing it out there as a question. You know, we have to be very careful how we get involved with international when we don't read the word of God. Because God's word is the true word. God's word is the history. God's word is that biblical instruction before leaving earth. And when we read God's word, we find out information. And we need to go to the word of God before we just carte blanche accept anything and everything. And we are for Israel. Don't get me wrong. But I'm also for Israel, God's Israel. Not man-made Israel, but God's Israel. Joshua 10:40, Joshua utterly destroyed all that breathe as the Lord God of Israel had commanded. Again, he destroyed everything. A story like the annihilation of the Canaanites often makes us wince, but it illustrates God's impeccable hatred of sin. God destroyed those nations due to sin. Wow. We have to be careful. Joshua did what God said to do. And when we go back to Joshua 10 and 12, it says, sun stand still over Gibeon and moon in the valley of Ajalon. We do not know how God accomplished this great miracle. We know only that he did it in response to believing prayer. God invites us to partner with him in the work of his kingdom. But we must never forget that we are very much the junior partners. God is in charge of everything, and we must never forget that. And then we go to Joshua 10 and 25. It says, do not be afraid, not be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies. At the beginning of his military career, Joshua needed to be encouraged by his people. Joshua 1 and 18, now he returns the favor and encourages them. We need each other more than we know. Mother, I need you. Jose,
amen.
I need you too. My baby is up and he's listening in this morning. And I need him. He is my little heart. As I need you, we all need each other. We need God. And as we go into this answers to life question, how should I respond to failure? I said that. God knows what we need, because I've had these moments in my own life where I've had some serious setbacks, had some serious wish I hadn't done that kind of things in my life. You know, and God has always come through and said, be patient, be still, and know that I am God. And it says, when the men of Israel returned and defeated us, Joshua needed some answers, and so turned immediately to prayer. He tore his garments, an act of grief, and fell on his face in humiliation before the Ark of the Covenant until nightfall. All of the elders joined him. Joshua cried out to God, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Joshua 7:7. Joshua, the wrong question. A question many of us ask when unexpected trouble strikes. Our first impulse is often to blame God for the tragedy, our problem that overwhelms us. We cry out, why? I did. Why me? I asked God that. Why me, God? Why did, you know, like I said, you know, my biggest thing, why did you take, you know, my mother and my father? Why did you take my husband? Why did you take my child? Why did you? And God said, why not you? Why me? I asked God. Why me? I do what you ask me to do. I go where you ask me to go. I do what you ask me to do. Why did you take my family? And God said, why not you? You're no different than anyone else. And had I not done what I've done, you wouldn't do what you are called to do. I've been putting off my calling from 17 years old to 52. 52. All those years. Didn't do what God told me to do. Because I was married. I was doing me. And God said, you're not doing what you're called. And so God will remove some things to get your attention. And sometimes it's not pleasant what happens. But we got to understand everything and a reason. And I love what Dr. Sin says. Why me? What did I do to deserve this? Why did you allow me to get in this mess? Usually these are exactly the wrong questions to ask. Consider a few more appropriate questions. What may I have done wrong? What can I do to correct this situation? Sometimes we need to change a habit or correct a bad attitude. We may need to confront our own sin and errors. God is usually far from the case of our trouble. We human beings are at fault either collectively or individually. When Joshua sees pouring out his hurt, frustrations, and questions, God said, get up. Why do you lie? That's on your face. Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. God had to tell me, get up. And he's telling me that today because I went into a place that depression, I tell people, is no joke. You go into that place, the enemy uses everything against you when he knows you got work to do for God. He will put every kind of stumbling block in front of you. He will try his best to knock you off your square. You know, what's the game where you have the little paddle and you hit things? Whack-a-mole? That's the enemy. He tries to whack you, tries to whack you and push you off your square, tries to get you off the board, tries to get you out of the grace of God because he's mad because he's no longer a part of it. So he don't want you to be a part of it either. And then as Dr. Stanley tells us, when we go to God in prayer, we must be willing to hear what he says. Often we never stop to listen to him. We must learn to wait when we voice our petition to hear his response. This is especially true when we pray in the aftermath of a setback or defeat. It is also vitally important that we do this anytime we find ourselves blaming God for our troubles. We must be willing to listen for his explanation, which often includes a correction. Once the Lord reveals to us what we need to do, the time for prayer has ended. Nothing more needs to be said. No excuses, no attempts to justify what we have done. We must accept what the Lord says and immediately move to obey him. Our obedience may include asking him to forgive us and to help us to obey him in the future. But our obedience must follow quickly. Usually this requires that we make amends or take specific action that will help right the wrong. We know that God eventually gave Joshua the victory over us in Joshua 8:28. And in fact, God gave Israel even greater, more miraculous triumphs, such as the success over the Amorites, where God sent hail to kill the enemy and stopped the sun in the sky so the Israelites could prevail. God will be with you as well, and he will continue to work through you powerfully. Don't allow your setbacks to be the end of your wonderful journey with God. Rather, obey him, accept his forgiveness, and move on. It's time to move forward. It's time to move forward with God. We got to do what thus says the Lord. Again, Mother Valerie, it's not about me. It's all about him. And when we come to that realization, everything else falls into place. I turn it over to you, Mother Valerie.
Amen. Amen. Good word. Good word. Amen. It's not about us. It's about God. Amen. And the title was, so the sun stood still and the moon stopped. With prayer, all things are possible. Well, we know that's true. All we have to do is pray. And if we can't pray, then get somebody else to pray you through. Good morning. Amen. Again, the people of God. God is just a good God all the time. And he listens to prayer. I mean, that's something. He listens. All God listens. Coming out of Psalms 44:1-3, we have heard with our ears, O God. Our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days and days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but then you planted. You afflicted the people and cast them out. They did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own arm save them, but it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you saved them. In Proverbs 13:24-25, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. He who spares his rod, that means you need to whoop them children. Within the Bible say with the rod. He who spares his rod. But in this day and age, right now, if you whoop the children can call the police. And they can take and have taken children out of the home because you discipline them. You know, that's amazing that the state can do that, take your children away from you because you gave them, you did what the Bible said do, and it has happened. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. Luke 10:1-24. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, send them two by two before his face into every city, place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lamb among wolves, carrying neither bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as set before you. Heal the sick there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, be wiped off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it would be more tolerable in that day for Solomon than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which was done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have reaped long ago, sitting in sackcloth, ashes. But it would be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Campolion, you are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names. Don't rejoice because of those spirits and this, that, and the other. Don't rejoice because of the healing, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Boy, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it has seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he returned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear. We have not heard it. That's amazing. Life lessons, Luke 10 and 2. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The Lord invites us to partner with him and expand in his kingdom. The curious fact is that even when he uses an angel in an evangelistic role, he still leaves the proclamation of the message to us, CX 10, Luke 10 and 20. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. We tend to get excited about miracles like curing cancer, casting out demons. But the Lord insists that the greatest miracle is our salvation. Evangelism is therefore a greater work than we imagine. See John 14 and 12. It says rejoice, not because of the cancer being cured or casting out demons or anything we do, anything at all, the parting of the Red Sea, the sun stood still and the moon stopped. With prayer, all things are possible, the title. No, he said, rejoice. Rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Rejoice because of it. God wants you to rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Well, God is a good God all the time, and all the time he's good. Always be good. And, you know, we need to stop that mess. We need to stop blaming God for every single thing that happens. Like Joshua. I mean, Israel had sinned. But people, the first time trouble happens or come to you, God, why did you do this? God, why are you letting me go through this? God, you did this. God, stop blaming God for everything. God don't do everything. Sometimes the devil has gotten you, or you yourself have gotten you into situations by thinking wrong and by doing wrong. Stop blaming God. We blame God for everything. And that's something that we actually do. We turn and we say, God, you did this. God, you did that. God, help me. He will help you, because it says with prayer, all things are possible. Is there anything too hard for God to do? No. There's nothing that God can't do. And there's a song called What If? What if God allows you to go through a lot of pain? What if God do this? What if God did do this? Or what if God did do that? Or like with Job, are you going to turn from God? No, Job told his wife, woman, you sound like a foolish woman. I mean, the Lord God gives and the Lord God takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so what if God don't intervene? I mean, he let Job go through a whole lot of things. The devil put balls on his body. The devil stole his children. He stole his wealth. And Job went through. But what if God don't? What if God do allow you to go through? In the end, are you going to stop praising God? And say, no matter what, we have to hold on to God's changing hand. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, no matter what, nor with the ark, eight people will say, no matter what you go through, no matter what God allows you to go through, what if he don't stop it? I know with one word, God can stop anything that's going on in your life that you don't like. But then, like I said, what if you don't? Giving him praise. No, you can't stop praising God, because his ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand why you go through stuff. I know Jesus, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why? I mean, the flesh of Jesus, our Lord, did not want to be crucified. And look at all the things that body went through. They spat in his face. He was beat 39 times. They put a crown of thorns on top of his head. It was so much that that body had to endure. But yet and still, he did it. He did it for our salvation so that we could be saved. And then just think, Easter just passed. Sunrise resurrection service just passed. He got up. He got up. He got up. He's alive. And he is alive. He's alive in us through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Ghost. So we got to stop blaming God for everything that happens. We have to stop doing that. Because sometimes, just like what we was reading today, Israel had sinned. And Joshua was crying out. But sometimes it's not God, it's what the people of Israel had did. So God is just good. He's good all the time. And remember, God's ways are higher than our ways, and everything works out for the good. And it does. Everything will work out for the good according to God's will. I mean, God knows the beginning. He knows the ending from the beginning. You know, that's amazing when you think about God. He knows exactly what's going to happen to you. He knows exactly. I remember when I was going to Abundant Faith, and me and Jan, we never would say anything. Elder Walton would tell me to bring the lesson. And I don't know, y'all, right. You bring the lesson, sister. Sure. Mm-hmm. Because we didn't talk. We didn't say much of nothing. But God knew that in my 80s, 79 or 80s, that I would be speaking and talking and reading and actually enjoyed coming before God's people and bringing the Sunday school lesson and teaching. I said, me and my daughter was talking about it. I said, I can't believe that I can open my mouth like this for God. But God knew, he knew that eventually I would open my mouth for him. He knew that I could talk and speak and enjoy doing this. He knew that. I didn't know that. Just like Gideon, he didn't know that he was a mighty man of valor. He didn't know that. God knows exactly what he puts in you. And Moses kept on telling him, I can't talk plain. It didn't matter. If God is with you, it doesn't matter who's against you. I mean, God is just a wonderful God. God knows exactly what he put in you, and he knows exactly what you can do, even though you don't know what you can do. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. Lord knows what you can do. And like I said, no, I never did talk. You ain't going to get me to get up there and say nothing. Nope. Let somebody else do it. I was not a leader, so I thought. But I can. I can get up and lead. I can get up and speak. I can talk, and I can enjoy talking and teaching. I said, boy, look what the Lord has done. I mean, you have to give it over to God and let God use you as he sees fit. And it said, what if he don't speak the word and allow you to go through the bridges when she went through things? What if? God knows. He said, why not you? She said, why me? He said, why not you? God just knows. He knows exactly what he's doing. Sometimes you don't know what he's doing, but God knows. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. And it said, rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. And that's what we need to be happy about.
Amen.
Rejoice. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And we all may need that day when our sun stands still and the moon don't move. We don't know what God has got planned for us. So the sun stood still and the moon stopped. With prayer, all things are possible. That was our title this morning, with prayer, all things are possible. We have to trust God for everything. And don't walk in fear, walk in faith. All through the word of Joshua, God says, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. It's a theme throughout the book of Joshua. And prayer. Joshua prayed like it was nobody's business. He did not play with it. Came to his prayer time. He would get on his knees. And we got to learn to do the same. Get on our knees. Prayer changes things. And this morning, when we're talking about prayer, like I said, Sister Carolyn is all in tune in the spirit. And that's why when you know that God has put something in the spiritual realm, you hear it more than once. And I know that God has put in the spiritual realm this word from Sister Carolyn this morning. Because when I was all fascinated about the moon and the sun standing still. And we know that it's because the earth didn't move. The earth stood still because the earth revolves around the sun. So it appears like the sun is moving when it's really us. He stopped the moon from moving. He stopped the sun from moving, which means he stopped the earth from moving. And all because of prayer. And Sister Carolyn said this morning, good morning, when we kneel before God, we can stand against anything. Have a warfare Wednesday. Hallelujah. We are in spiritual warfare. And we got to know that prayer changes all kinds of things. Trust God. Believe that he can. Believe that he will. Believe that he will take us higher, to higher heights and deeper depths. Because he's God. And he loves us. And he loves us more than we could ever imagine. More than we could ever think. We got to give God praise. And let him know that we appreciate his love. We appreciate his kindness. We appreciate the joy that can only come from God. I'm thankful this morning, Mother, that I know how to get on my knees. It might hurt a little bit, but it's all right. Because I know that God can do it. God is good. God is good. And I'm
Amen.
So thankful. Look at God. Won't he do it? Yes, he will.
Amen. God is just
thank
good.
God. Yes. Very much so. Very, very much so. So thanking God, thanking all of you this morning. And I want to get this prayer in before we go this morning. Willing submission. And it says, obey your leaders and act under their authority. They are watching over you because they are responsible for your souls. Obey them so that they will do this work with joy, not sadness. It will not help you to make their work hard. Hebrews 13 and 17. NCB. And it says, great God, fill me anew today, the fresh wind of your grace, blowing away all the dust of days before. You speak and my heart takes courage. I intentionally lay my heart open before you. Fill me with the knowledge of your goodness and great care. Draw me near to you that I may take courage in being found in you. Help me to serve the leaders in my life with a humble heart, submitting to them even when I disagree with their decisions. Give me grace to remember that when I lead, I do the best I can, and my leaders are doing the same. I willingly submit myself not only to your leadership, but to theirs as well, knowing nothing goes unseen by you. Everything done in love is not wasted, and I choose love over my own preferences. Thank you for your grace that covers me. And it says this, as Joshua submitted to God and his leaders submitted to him, we must submit to the leaders that who have been entrusted to lead us. And that is all I have. And as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. in Jesus' name. I pray, we pray, we believe, we trust that God will watch over all of us while we are apart. Be blessed, family. We ask God to watch over you and bless you as he is watching over us and blessing us. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed, everybody. It's a wrap. Mother Valerie, what is it?
It's a wrap. It is a wrap.
Amen.